Hello, and welcome to The Context. My name is Scott Pruitt, and I'm an anchor with News China. With our podcast, we aim to provide insight into the current trends of modern China, allowing you to clearly see what's happening today through a historical lens. In the first installment of what will be a two-part feature, we'll discuss a time-honored masterpiece painted by a remarkably talented individual at the mere age of 18. We'll also delve into the mysteries and speculations surrounding the artwork itself. From August 24th to the 28th, a dance drama featuring the famous Chinese painting, A Thousand Miles of Rivers and Mountains, was performed at the Venetian Theater in Macau. Presented by China Oriental Performing Arts Group, renowned young directors Zhou Liya and Han Jun led the production. Audiences from the Greater Bay Area of Guangdong, Hong Kong, and Macau had the opportunity to witness the elegance of the performance. Inspired by the painting, A Thousand Miles of Rivers and Mountains, by Northern Song Dynasty artist Wang Ximeng, the dance drama tells the story of a modern researcher from the Forbidden City who travels through time back to the Northern Song Dynasty, which lasted from 960 to 1127. The story unfolds from the perspective of the viewer of the scroll, offering insights into Wang Ximeng's inner world and the process of creating his artwork. A Thousand Miles of Rivers and Mountains, or in Chinese, Qin Li Jiangshan Tu, is one of China's 10 most famous heirloom paintings. Housed at the Palace Museum in Beijing, the painting, created in 1113 when Wang was only 18 years old, is also one of the national treasures recognized by the State Administration of Cultural Heritage as forbidden to be exhibited outside the country. During the opening ceremony of the 2008 Beijing Olympic Games, a monumental scroll was unfurled, which captivated the global audience. This scroll holds immense significance, particularly within the Chinese art community, where it has become a cultural touchstone. Over the past few decades, any exhibition featuring the scroll has consistently stirred a profound response. Despite its esteemed position in Chinese art history, numerous enigmas continue to shroud this painting, leaving many unanswered questions. Today, cultural relic appraisal has attained an elevated standard due to advancements in science and technology, and many identification techniques, such as assessing materials, pigments, techniques, clothing styles, and age of construction, and textual information acquired during the circulation of ancient paintings, contribute to this progress. Moreover, colophons, that is, the inscriptions and seals often seen on paintings and scrolls, serve not only as integral components of the artwork, but also as pivotal markers for determining the painting's age and authenticity. Each of these facets provides clues to the painting's historical period. Moreover, any minute discrepancy among these aspects can potentially challenge earlier conclusions. A Thousand Miles of Rivers and Mountains presents a unique and intriguing case. It boasts a definitive creation date and a meticulously documented creative journey, overseen by a distinct creator and mentor. Yet, when these seemingly conclusive pieces of evidence are woven together, the narrative becomes almost incredulous, demanding belief while simultaneously inviting skepticism. First of all, what kind of story is being told to us within this painting? The picture is a landscape painting featuring lime green, and at 12 meters in length, it is quite grand indeed. And although there are occasional figures to serve as decorations, there is no actual story depicted in the picture. The real drama is what happened behind the scenes to create the painting, but it's a simple story with only three characters: the young painter Wang Ximeng, the ruling emperor Huizong Zhaoji, and the prime minister Cai Jing, all of whom lived during the Song Dynasty, which lasted from 960 to 1279. Painter Wang Ximeng was a little-known young man at the time, but the latter two went on to become prominent figures in Chinese history, especially in the elite art circle, although their reputations are quite dubious. As for the young painter and origins of the exquisite scroll, the only authoritative proof we have is a postscript on the scroll written by Cai Jing, which reads as follows. Awarded on the 8th day of the 4th lunar month in the 3rd year of the Zheng He era, at the age of 18, Shi Meng was a student in the Royal Art School, previously working as an apprentice there. He was summoned to the Imperial Library in the Forbidden City, where he presented several paintings, but they were not particularly skilled. The emperor, recognizing his potential, decided to instruct and guide him personally. In less than half a year, he presented a painting that impressed the emperor. The emperor praised it and awarded it to his prime minister, saying that the affairs of the world are about creating such works. The postscript includes details about the time, location, individuals involved, age, education, and occupation, but this condensed narrative also appears to carry an inspirational tone, highlighting the story of someone's journey to success despite initial challenges. It's the story of the young talent named Shi Meng, who had once been a student at the Art Academy, an initiative by Emperor Huizong, often referred to as the Artist Emperor. The academy he established was intended to cultivate future artistic talents for the royal court. Those who excelled would have the opportunity to work in the Imperial Painting Academy and gradually rise to become imperial attendants at the Hanlin Academy. However, Shi Meng's journey took an unexpected turn. After graduating from the Art Academy, he didn't secure a place at the Imperial Painting Academy. Instead, he was assigned to the Imperial Library, where he worked on document preservation. It's fair to say that this was an early setback for the young artist, but Shi Meng didn't lose heart. He diligently practiced art and repeatedly presented his paintings to the emperor. Emperor Huizong recognized Shi Meng's potential and took it upon himself to provide guidance and instruction. Under the tutelage of the artist emperor, the young artistic genius experienced rapid improvement in his painting skills. In just half a year, he completed the painting A Thousand Miles of Rivers and Mountains. This story exemplifies the journey of a young artist who faced challenges but persisted in his efforts. It showcases the influence of the artist emperor's mentorship, leading to remarkable progress and the creation of a significant artwork. But now that you've heard this inspirational version of the story, it's time to get into the weeds. Doubt 1. Is it really possible for a young artist who is only 18 years old to complete such an extensive and magnificent work within a short span of 6 months? Furthermore, could he have produced such a detailed and masterful piece with such advanced techniques? Doubt 2. Even if the 18-year-old artist possessed such skill, did he also have the necessary life experiences? Chinese landscape painting is not merely a realistic representation of a specific location. However, the artist should have at least witnessed various famous mountains and rivers. It seems unlikely that one could create such a grand scene solely through imagination without any real-world exposure. Doubt 3. If Wang Shi Meng could present this painting at the age of 18, he would have undoubtedly risen to become a star in Chinese art history. However, after this painting, he seemingly disappeared from the scene, and the painting itself became an unrivaled masterpiece of all ages. What could be the reason behind his sudden obscurity? Many doubts revolve around Wang Shi Meng's age. His youth might limit his skills and experiences. Nevertheless, he benefits from unique advantages. Emperor Huizong personally mentors him, advancing his painting prowess, and working within the palace exposes him to historical masterpieces that others never see. This erases the need for decades of travel to appreciate these sights, a boon for a gifted young talent. During the Northern Song Dynasty, Mi Fu, who was of the same generation as Cai Jing, also had similar strokes of luck. This was because Mi Fu's mother was a wet nurse for Emperor Shen Zong. Consequently, since his childhood, Mi Fu, who had a deep passion for calligraphy, could freely enter and leave the palace. He later even became an official responsible for proofreading within the imperial palace. This laid a strong foundation for him to become a renowned calligrapher of his time. In fact, with these two compensatory factors, we can still perceive, even today, that in the painting A Thousand Miles of Rivers and Mountains, there are inevitably traces of inexperienced strokes. While not necessarily shortcomings, it is evident that the skill was insufficient due to a lack of profound understanding of life and limited experiences. Moreover, this point is not a secret, nor is it something only professional artists can discern. Upon careful observation of this scroll, including reproductions and prints, one can notice that the composition of trees, bridges, boats, and other elements in the foreground lack precision, with some brushstrokes appearing somewhat feeble. This aspect is not found in other ancient Chinese paintings, as by the Five Dynasties period, before the Song Dynasty, various genres of Chinese painting, including figures, flowers and birds, landscapes, stories, customs, and objects, had already reached maturity. By the late Northern Song Dynasty, a technique known as boundary painting had widely been employed. An example of boundary painting from the same period is along the river during the Qinming Festival. Boundary painting employs special tools, boundary brushes and boundary rulers, to intricately depict architecture, bridges, vehicles, and more. However, mastery of this technique and the application of these tools require a considerable amount of time. The painting A Thousand Miles of Rivers and Mountains has its flaws. The reason these imperfections are not widely known to the public is because, in recent times, this painting has achieved tremendous commercial success, giving rise to various reproductions and cultural products, which have performed remarkably well. Consequently, in the public domain, one can only hear praise from experts and scholars, while voices of doubt have ironically become faint noises in the background, appearing somewhat unconventional. Since there are evident flaws, why has A Thousand Miles of Rivers and Mountains become a timeless masterpiece? How has it even earned the title of a masterpiece among masterpieces and a national treasure among national treasures? Any ancient or famous painting is bound to face skepticism, primarily centered around authenticity and age. However, the flaws present in this painting have turned into compelling footnotes for discerning its authenticity and age. In other words, the more flaws it has, the more it confirms its originality. Imperfections do not overshadow its brilliance, however. Even with its flaws, witnessing this painting in person leaves no one untouched. This painting possesses three significant strengths that are beyond dispute. Firstly, its size is a significant factor. Regardless of the era, a large painting demands more manpower, resources, effort, and dedication than a smaller one. Large-scale formats are particularly suited for portraying extensive subjects. For instance, the depiction of the rivers and mountains in A Thousand Miles of Rivers and Mountains is much more grandiose than the depiction of the customs and scenes of Dongjing and Bianliang in the contemporaneous Along the River during the Qinming Festival. In terms of dimensions, the latter is over 5 meters long, while A Thousand Miles of Rivers and Mountains reaches almost 12 meters, nearly the length of a bus or the height of a four-story building. Along the river during the Qinming Festival has a height of 24.8 centimeters, which is the standard dimension for Song Dynasty hand scroll paintings. On the other hand, the height of A Thousand Miles of Rivers and Mountains is 51.5 centimeters, more than twice as tall. Such tall and large scrolls were rare during the Northern Song Dynasty and were primarily used by the imperial court for creating paintings with large subjects. They were woven with a higher thread density than ordinary painting silk, as modern analysis has revealed. Secondly, its exquisite composition stands out. In Chinese landscape painting, composition is key. Concepts like height, distance, and depth are crucial. A Thousand Miles of Rivers and Mountains embodies all these elements flawlessly. Moreover, as the size of a composition increases, the complexity of its composition grows, and this nearly 12-meter-long painting features not one single repeated element. The meticulous and ingenious composition, the grand and awe-inspiring momentum, and the lively and spirited brushwork all deserve to be described as unparalleled throughout history. Therefore, having flaws in certain details is not hard to understand. In fact, it further supports the idea of its creation by a single artist, Only an individual working alone could achieve such mastery over composition and momentum, down to the minutest detail. Thirdly, its color palette is remarkable. 1,000 miles of rivers and mountains excels in its use of color, and can rightfully be called the pinnacle of Qinglü Shanshui, or green-blue landscape painting. Green-blue landscape is a unique and precious category in Chinese landscape painting, utilizing pigments derived from mineral colors like azurite and malachite. Among these, azurite, especially, needed to be imported through the Silk Road from distant regions in West Asia, making it exceptionally expensive and regarded as a gem-grade pigment. Considering only the pigments used and the canvas size, the authentication for the painting 1,000 miles of rivers and mountains is firmly established. Unparalleled in history, this kind of work could only be produced in the extravagantly opulent imperial courts of the late Northern Song Dynasty. Such a creation was beyond the capability of the general public and lacked the resources for replication or forgery. I hope you'll listen again to our next podcast when we delve deeper into the enigmas surrounding this famous painting. Now that you know how special the painting itself is, you will certainly want to hear about the never-ending mysteries and assumptions related to the young painter himself, and whether he even existed at all. Well, that's the end of our podcast. Our theme music is by the famous film score composer Rock Chun. We want to thank our writer Song Yimin, translator Yu Shougang, and copy editor Gu Ren. And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, please tell a friend so they too can understand the context.